Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Mr. Roboto, apparently.
And JD.
And Matt.
Alright. Technical difficulties abound here at Superhero Speak, but we'll power through them. So how was everyone's week? Let's start with all the pleasantries. JD, you just got back from a big wrestling match. How was that?
It went really well. Team Illinois dominated. We won four team championships. Two kids that I coached were in the national finals. One kid was a double style national champ. The other kid was a runner up. So it went pretty good for me.
Cool. How about you, Matt? Do anything exciting this week?
Not much. I just came back from a trip to LA today. That was pretty neat. Seeing all the buildings and stuff.
But not a trip from San Diego, huh?
No, unfortunately.
And John, did you kill any ex-wives lately? Or?
Yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny that, and I plead the fifth.
Okay, now, all right.
I finished the fourth season of Ruby, and cried, wept like a woman, and I revised 90 pages of my book. So there you go.
Ah, sounds like you had an exciting week.
Oh, and I talked to Maxine Storybrooke a lot too.
She's married.
Yes, I know. She's working on her second book. It was, I get to talk to authors and artists whenever I want now. So,
yes, but you seem to only want to talk to the women.
It's not true at all. I talked to you. That didn't help my case.
Well, I just got back from vacation down in good old Wildwood, New Jersey. For those who aren't on the East Coast, most of us here spend our summers going to the beach in Wildwood, or in New Jersey.
It's better than Boring
Wood. That's where the Jersey Shore came from. What was that?
Better than Boring Wood, New Jersey.
And I have a new obsession because of this. So there was an arcade that we go to, and they have, those, like, we play these video poker tournaments and stuff, and they had one of those coin drop games. And it was DC Heroes. Ooh. And some of the newer coin drop ones, they have cards that come out. You have to push them forward and the cards come out. So if you had a complete set of heroes and a complete set of villains, you would get 10,000 tokens, You get a lot of good pencils for that. And I'm sad to say that I got the full set, and I don't want to say how much I spent on the stupid machine. Damn you, DC.
So that's how DC's making their comeback through slot machines and poker.
But with all that being said, none of us were in San Diego, where there was a convention. I heard some kind of comic book show.
It's kind of hard to drop what it would have cost us, maybe $3,000-$4,000 per person at least to go out there.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, just. I know that, number one, the tickets aren't cheap anymore. If you want to, I guess, get... I don't know, do they do VIP packages where you could get guaranteed seats in some of the... what do they call it, the panels? And then I'm sure the hotels gouge people.
I know New York is already gouging because we just booked our room for New York Comic Con. And as far as San Diego is concerned, I don't know. I mean, is the same place doing New York that does San Diego? Are they two different companies? Oh, okay. They probably still have the VIP because they don't do that in New York anymore.
No, that is true. They got rid of the VIP packages. But there was a lot of interesting news that came out of it. A lot of it DC related. Which,
hey,
damn you,
they've got a Wonder Woman. They're going to use a Wonder Woman a lot.
Okay. So you're alluding to the new trailer that came out for Justice League, which a lot of people were saying they thought it was Wonder Woman heavy, cashing in on the success of the movie. I don't know. It seemed as heavy in Wonder Woman as the first one was in Batman, but it wasn't. I didn't feel overly like it was trying to cash in on Wonder Woman.
Why wouldn't you want to cash in on Wonder Woman? Because Wonder Woman is literally cashing in. It's the number one movie of the summer. Right. I mean, it's the only well-reviewed movie they have, too. So I'd cash in, too.
Well, it's also their highest grossing DC film, from what I understand, right?
I can't see how it doesn't.
Has it broken a billion yet? That's the question, I guess.
I don't know.
Well, I'll look that up. Yeah, while you guys are talking. Actually,
So Wonder Woman, of course, they're going to cash in on Wonder Woman, and then the rest of the trailer, mini trailer that they sent out looked pretty good, actually, you know? And there was a tease at the end, which, gee, I wonder who he was talking to.
Well, I was going to bring that up. That is the best, or the worst best kept secret in all of films. Obviously, he's talking to Superman.
He's talking to Robin.
And let's go around the room and take a vote. Was he talking to Superman or Robin?
I'll go with Superman.
I'll go with Mix's putt.
Yeah. I'll say probably Lex Luthor.
All right, she's at 780 million right now. It hasn't beaten a billion yet, but
it will.
But she's the highest domestically. She's beaten so far. Sure. Yeah, she's the highest domestically, but probably not worldwide.
I mean, the movie has been out for over 2 months now, and she's still in the top 10 for the weekend. Yeah, so
as she deserves to be.
So yeah, actually, I saw an article today talking about Henry Cavill in Justice League, and as everyone knows, we talked about this before in the show, they are doing a bunch of reshoots right now after Josh Whedon had taken over, and at the same time, he was filming Mission Impossible, the next Mission Impossible movie. He's in it, and in that movie, he has a mustache. So for the reshoots, he has a mustache, and they're going to digitally remove it.
They couldn't just, in post-production. Let's go low-tech and shave it. I mean, Dollar Shave Club exists. I don't understand.
But if he's filming both movies at the same time, you know what I'm saying? He could be 2 days on the Justice League and then the rest of the week filming Mission Impossible. He can't grow a mustache. I know he's Superman, but he can't grow it that fast.
Have you seen him? He looks like, you know, he shaves and 5 seconds later he's got 5 o'clock shadow. I mean,
he does look like that. But I thought that was interesting. So, like, that article came out and I'm like, well, then, duh. This really confirms that he's in the movie.
Well, we all knew it was. He's on all the marketing materials already.
Right, I know. And there's toys already coming out.
Did they come out with
him in it? It's like,
but no mullet.
Okay, I had to. Ask.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But not Black Widow. Not Black Widow toys.
Anyway, yeah. So I liked it. I mean, it looked better than the first one. I'm still not sure about it, but you know, as long as that is Wonder Woman, and the writers from that movie have, you know, some input, I don't know. We'll have to see.
I also thought it was interesting that they gave us a half second glimpse at Steppenwolf, but they're not actually showing him yet.
You know, but that's okay because these trailers these days have spoiled so much for so many movies. I would welcome a trailer that got me excited but showed me nothing. You know, I know, but you know, can you imagine what the uproar would have been if the first people going to see Civil War didn't know that Spider-Man was going to be in it? I mean, you know, there are certain times in a geek's life that are sacred. Yeah. If they would give those to us, we would give them all the money.
So you're saying it would have been a much different time if they had spoiled in the preview that Darth Vader was Luke's father.
So I don't know how much more they could have spoiled it already.
Oh, God. Anyway.
So, what's next? What do you guys think?
So also related to Justice League, Ben Affleck, as everyone knows, so just to recap on the whole Ben Affleck thing, he obviously was cast as Batman in Batman v Superman. He's Batman in Justice League. He was going to write and direct the solo Batman movie. He wrote the script with Geoff Johns. Warner Brothers had issues with it. And then shortly after that, Ben Affleck said he was going to step down from directing because he felt that he couldn't direct and star in that movie at the same time. There was too much to do in the role to actually also direct the movie. And then rumors started that he was going to walk away from the role altogether, and they were going to recast him for the movie. But he said at San Diego that is not true. He loves playing Batman, and he will continue playing him as long as he can.
Well, he never said that. Well, he never said that he was going to continue. He just said that he loves playing Batman. He's the luckiest man, but he never said that he's going to be the Batman.
That they want to put together, and he's deciding to go back across the line again.
Well, I just feel like it was a PR thing. He's not going to say before Justice League comes out, "I'm not playing Batman anymore."
Okay.
I don't think he can legally even do that, because then if he says the wrong thing and it creates more turmoil, that could cause legal issues too, like that you're tanking the movie and then it gets all ugly. So who knows what's going on with those things? It doesn't seem like he's too thrilled, to be honest with you, like having to step down from it. Because I was more excited about him directing a Batman movie more so than him playing Batman, and that kind of went the wayside. So, I mean, who knows? This whole Justice League thing... In 10 years, this is going to be a heck of a documentary.
Will it be another Donner documentary?
And I'm more excited about that than the actual movie.
Gone wrong, did go wrong. And on top of that, if they could have like taken legal repercussions against Affleck for taking the movie, then they should have already indicted Batman v Superman.
I think they're still in denial that was a disaster.
Yeah. I see what you guys are saying, but do you think? Maybe with Josh Whedon taking over, it could breathe some new life into Justice League and make Affleck excited again.
I think so. I think the new trailer feels a lot different than the first trailer, to be honest. And I think that what's weird is it doesn't look or feel like Avengers, which I thought was pretty cool, that it seemed to have its own thing. But I definitely think that could play a role in it. And you got to let it play out because they're basically making another movie right now. It's basically a Justice League redo at this point. So, who knows, man? I mean, like, part of me is going to be shocked if this movie actually gets done, to be honest with you.
Yes, I agree. They still have a November deadline, though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's in a better place than the Han Solo movie is, for sure.
That's true. Well, yeah. You know?
I think, actually, Matt Reeves would... Because Ben did say something interesting about how he would play an ape for Matt Reeves. And I think after the success this weekend... with Battle for the Planet or War of the Planet of the Apes, that, you know, maybe Ben Affleck has changed his mind.
That's the feeling that I got from the what I read. So keep my fingers crossed. We'll see what happens. I mean, you know, he's no George Clooney, but
not mine. I just suddenly
oh, see back nothing, to a nothing. Time, you guys, that reference went right over your heads.
That was horrible. Actually, never mind. Don't bring that up again. Never bring that up again.
Okay.
As bad as Superman versus Batman was, it's still better than whatever. Was that Batman and Robin?
Is that yeah, that was Batman was? And Robin.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Speaking of things that are terrible... And since you guys are both independent creators, what DC said in their panel, Jim Lee basically came out and said that the comic book industry is dying and it's about to collapse in on itself. And a lot of reaction to that comment has been floating around on the internet. Mm-hmm. But then they introduced what they feel is the solution to the problem, at least for DC's eyes, and they're going to switch over to prestige format mainly for all their books going forward. And So for people who aren't familiar with Prestige format, that's kind of like, because they haven't really, they don't do it as often as they used to, but when they used to do like the long Halloween, where it's a separate, you know, four or five issue arc that's outside of the run of the normal book, or the Dark Knight Returns, or any of those stories. So, yeah. Yes. No longer worrying about extreme continuity. So what do you guys think of that, JD?
I think Jim Lee is correct. I think that the comic book industry is propped up by this direct market that realistically is kind of a nightmare, to be honest with you. Like, there's no way to get into comics unless you know you should be into comics. Like, they're not available. Like, when I was a kid, you could go to the drugstore and buy some comics. Can't really do that anymore. So the only people you get in is fans, and it's the same fans. And the median comic book fan age goes up year by year by year, and it's not sustainable. The market is not working, and I think he's correct. I don't know if the Prestige format is going to be the savior. I like that they're trying something better than what Marvel's doing, and you know, Marvel's just trying to repeat a lot of the old 90s gimmicks that didn't really help back then. So, I mean, I don't know, like, as an indie creator, this doesn't really affect me one way or the other. My stuff's all online, and I can't get into Diamond if my life depended on it right now to begin with, so I could care less what Diamond does at the moment, because it doesn't have an effect on me in the slightest.
Right.
But I think that Jim Lee is right, and I like that they're doing something. They're not just saying, well, the system is broken, let's continue to manipulate the system until there's nothing left of it. So, I don't know, I'm curious. I think DC's never really held true to tight continuity. Like, their whole DC's thing is continuity is fluid, like, you know, hypertime, stuff like that, you know? So I think that it can work, because the best Prestige format stuff is the stuff that doesn't quite fit in continuity. Stuff like Long Halloween, which is really meant to exist on its own. Stuff like The Dark Knight Returns. Those are, even Watchmen, which has been kind of brought back in ex post facto as a DC book. I think it can work. I think it can work really well. That's my thought. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I agree. I think there's a lot of issues that resulted in why the comic book industry is declining. It's just like DiDio said, comic books are the second or third way that people now interact with their characters, like Batman or Superman. They're more interested in buying the Injustice video game or seeing the movie than picking up a comic book at a comic book shop, you know? And so I like the legacy format, because I some of my favorite stories, like JD said, was The Long Halloween, Dark Knight Rises. I'm sorry, Dark Knight Returns. And just, I feel like if they go to that, a lot of people will flock towards those graphic novels. But at the same time, you know, New 52 didn't work, you know, and a lot of fans were turned off by that. And go ahead.
New 52 did work for the first year. Like, the sales skyrocketed. The problem with New 52 is that, like, they went into it was a plan that really wasn't it was built on a house of cards, really. Like, you know, the whole thing kind of crumbled when you really looked at it. Like, it was a good idea, and some of those books were pretty good. But, you know, after 6-7 months into the run, like, they kind of show they really didn't have a long-term, or at least it seemed from the outsider, I should say, that they had a long-term strategy for it. Like, they got people in the stores. They sold a ton of books.
I wasn't saying that. I was just meaning that the constant rebooting, you know, trying to make everything work over and over again. I mean, I like the Flash from the New 52. That's when I really got back into DC comic books. Was reading the Flash, but yeah, I agree with you, JD. It was just that not having the long term plan, but now they are being smart about it and they're adjusting their game plan a little bit. And I think that's what any business needs to do, you know, is always pivoting.
Yeah, I mean, how many businesses run the same way they ran 30 years ago and don't adjust to times and trends and what's going on now? I think comics is kind of fight for a system that really is antiquated.
Mm-hmm. Well, what, you know, it's, what I find fascinating about how you're describing this is, you know, you go back to the 70s and the 80s, and then the early 90s, and then it really changed in the mid to late 90s with the Clone Saga. Was one of the ones that did this, in the sense of when you would go and buy a single issue of Amazing Spider-Man. And it could, it would be a self-contained story, or at the most, it would be a two-part story, you know? And there might be something that happens later on that's related to that two-part story, but it wasn't like, oh my God, you had to have issues 101 through 120 to get the whole story in there, but then you also needed the tie-in from Fantastic Four and Incredible Hulk and this one and that one. And the thing is, they would bring in writers that just say, we need you to write, you know, a couple of good stories for us, and then we'll put them together and you know, publish them. Now it's, I hear from people that I know that work at Marvel, like, they have these summits, you know, and they plan out everything, at least for the next year. What's the summer event? So what needs to happen in these issues and when, in these series and when do they need to happen to tie into the summer event? And then what's going to be the repercussions, you know, falling out after that event? And how long is that going to go on? And like, that's all pre-planned. So when someone comes in as a writer, it's like, yeah, we want you to write a great story, but here's all the points you have to hit in your story, you know? And it makes it, go ahead.
No, I was saying one thing that we learned in the comics experience class is that the floppy books themselves are loss leaders. Like, they cost a lot. It costs a lot to make a comic between talent, printing, all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And the way you make money on the books isn't selling comics. The way you make money is selling the trade, because the trade's already done. Like, the work's already been paid for. So they make way more money selling books to Barnes & Noble and stuff like that, more so than they do on those single issues. So it makes the writing for the trade thing makes sense when you look at it as a business. But you're totally right. And like, why do you think they keep losing all these great writers? It's because you gotta fit your idea into these stories, and it's gotta cross over with this and with that. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, it's just not fun to read their books right now. And it totally feels like that.
And I think a lot of readers got fatigue in the late 90s. You know, the Clone Saga is what did me in.
Me too.
Because it was just like, when are they going to end this, you know? And I don't have to keep buying all these books just to figure out, you know, who was the real Peter Parker. And, you know, yeah, they sucked me back in with Civil War, but then I got fatigue again because it was like, okay, now that led into Dark Empire, which led into, you know, the next one, which led into the next one. Okay, I'm done, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of readers just got fatigue from having to keep up with it, where, you know, and then they've never gone back. Now DC's kind of going back to that with the prestige format, where they're saying, okay, let's just write great stories and put them out, and they can be, they don't even really have to be connected, you know, which is great. But now, but with Marvel's still doing the same thing, like, why don't you just try writing a good two-story arc and see if people buy it?
I think that that's predicated on how the differences between the two universes. The Marvel Universe's big thing is always been the interconnectivity of it, which they've exploited in the movies really well. Yeah. Where DC is so, DC is like a salad bar, man. Like, you take a little bit from this company and then a little bit from that company and a little here. I mean, that's why the continuity thing never really works with DC, yeah, which is why they have to reboot it all the time, because it was never meant to fit. So I think the prestige format makes sense with the DC characters, you know?
Yeah, continuity salads just don't work. The another argument I made when Marvel made the argument about their sale, complaints about their sales a few months ago, I said one of the issues I think readers have now too is the characters we're getting in the movies. We're getting Thor is really not the classic Thor. He is more of the new Thor, but he's not a woman. You know, what's happening is they're making the movies kind of based on the classic origin stories of these characters. And I think people are then going to the comic book shop and they're not seeing the same characters in the books, you know? So I think, I mean, correct me if you guys think I'm wrong, but I think that's hurting their sales too. You know?
From everyone I've talked to, there just isn't a lot of crossover. Like, I haven't talked to many people that leave a theater and go, man, I have to read these books. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's in my experience, but I just haven't. Like I said, around kids all the time, every kid I know loves going to those Marvel movies, but I've never been able to talk a single one of them into buying a monthly book.
No, but they buy a toy. Easy. Or sure.
Oh, well, that's true. They'll buy a toy. They'll buy a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They'll watch the Netflix series.
Yeah.
They'll punch John in the nuts and tell him he's wrong. Oh, wait. John, you've been quiet. Did we lose you? We must have lost John.
John's gone.
All right. So anyway, moving on. All right. So yeah. So that's my two cents on it. You know, I think if they aligned, they might get readers if they aligned the movies and the comics a little more closer together. You know.
Yeah, but then aren't you a slave to what's going on in the movies in a different format? You know, right. As a writer, I mean, I don't want to.
Yeah, that's true too.
I hate to have to be told, well, you can only color, which they do anyway. They tell you what, you know, where you can color and where you can't to begin with. But you know, yeah. I don't know. You're not wrong. Like,
you're a slave to the movies. Kevin Feige now rules everything Marvel.
Wait, you're back.
That's not a good thing.
Maybe, well, what is your take?
Maybe a good thing. Maybe not at all a good thing. I'm not sure yet. No, I was ignoring you, that's all.
I'm waiting for that from you.
When you say something...
So then what is your take on the continuity, prestige format,
respecting
slumping sales, you know, issue?
Commenting, God? I will comment. But until then... Yeah. Well, yeah, you went back to the Clone Wars saga that lost you. What lost me was Armageddon. Because it literally, at that point in my life, I was in college, and I ran out of money trying to follow all of the different comics to see the entire story. I literally ran out of money. So, yeah, and to Matt's and JD's point, I just realized this as I'm listening to you, you really can't find a place to buy comics anymore. It's like, I used to work in bookstores, and you go to the bookstore, and they had a comic rack, and I was usually in charge of that. Or, you went into Walmart and you'd find comics there, but you don't really, well, back then it wasn't Walmart, it was Sears and JCPenney and, gods, you know, all these old places. But it's unless you actively look for a comic shop, which there aren't many around anymore, you're not going to just happen upon them and look and see one of the front covers and say, ooh, that looks interesting, maybe I'll just get that as an impulse buy. Which is what they used to really rely on, was the impulse buys, which is why the covers were always done by artists that were really good and not usually the same artists inside. And, you know, they saved the best stuff for that, to get people's eyes. I'm not sold on the prestige thing. I mean, we're geeks. We yell at movies if in one scene something's yellow and the next scene the same thing is a different color yellow.
I think it's a big,
continuity is kind of big to us.
I was just saying, I think they're still keeping continuity. I think they're just siphoning off some of their best talent to create
I'm
the
not
legacy.
Sure how they manage that.
Right. Yeah, we'll have to see what happens and how it does. You know, I'm sure they'll try to introduce it slowly, and if the prestige formats do well, they'll probably phase out the ongoing books, would be my guess. But also, to JD's point is, when they do the prestige books, they can easily gather them up into graphic novels, and then those graphic novels end up in bookstores. It's easier for them to carry the graphic novel than have a rack. So
it's way easier to recommend a graphic novel to someone too looking for comics than to pay $4 for a 20-page pamphlet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So, yes, did we all see the new preview for Thor Ragnarok? Sure.
So what else is in the news? What else is coming out?
I loved it.
I'm seeing lots of.
We've gotten something that I have wanted from the first time they put the character on the big screen.
No,
and that's a Hulk that talks.
Really watch it.
Well, I mean, you know, he's a more progressive Thor. I understand he needs to share his feelings. He's becoming more an all-around
Thor
good man.
That's okay.
As he loses his hammer and his kingdom. But yeah, like they've always done pretty much the mindless raging Hulk in every movie. And it was like, but he talks in the books. He's always talked in the books. Like, why isn't he talking? So, what do you guys think? Do you think they're going to explain now why he can talk, or is it just going to, they're just going to do it and it'll be kind of a shock to Thor, but they'll kind of laugh it off and then continue on?
They already kind of explained it. Hulk hasn't turned into Banner for 2 years. And so during that time, the Hulk has developed his speaking.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Yeah. So right after Age of Ultron, Hulk never turned back to Banner.
Oh, okay. That's a long time to stay as the Hulk.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah, doesn't Banner really have to get out some time to pee or something? I mean, no.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. Why do you lie?
Also, in the trailer, Banner had no idea that they even fought. He didn't know where he was.
Oh, so, that could open a door for later more suggestions that Hulk was riding,
driving in the driver's seat the whole time.
Yes, yeah. No, that's true. I don't think, I mean, unless they try to attempt a solo Hulk movie again, which I know there's some kind of weird thing with the rights, I think, are at Universal for the movies. But if they ever do attempt one again, I think I'd like to see them maybe trot down the different, maybe the Joe Fixit route or the Genius Hulk route. You know, something different. Because I think people keep saying the Hulk doesn't work as a character in the movies. And the Hulk they're giving us doesn't work as a character in the movies. But I think you could do the whole tortured soul thing, you know?
I'd watch that. That'd be kind of cool.
You know? They hinted at it. And I think that was the whole thing. They hinted at it in Avengers. But they didn't go down that route when he was like, I put a gun on my mouth and the other guy spit out the bullet. You know, that whole, like, I can't go on like this, but there's two of us, you know, which that's another thing. They kind of still act like he's the same person, everyone that knows him. You know, they don't go by that whole, like, no, it's two separate personalities thing. Because, again, he doesn't talk, so you don't know that the Hulk has a personality. He's like a raging fire.
We'll find out, I guess. I don't know. He gets to talk a little. But the big yes. thing is you know, Hel, her name's Hel, right? She comes up and wipes out all of Asgard. And that kind of makes sense, because if they're playing the same continuity as the Infinity War, you'd think that some of the people in the front, at the front of the battle, would be Asgardians, Niflheim, you know, all that whole series of worlds.
And definitely. I think Ragnarok whatever happens at the end is going
to give us more reason why the Avengers are the only people
tie
left standing
to
do anything
Infinity
about
War. It has to.
Yeah, Thanos.
Point, you know,
the one big thing I was excited about was the Spawn movie announcement with
what
Blumhouse.
Else?
That's right.
Want to talk about
I completely forgot that one. Yes.
Well, okay, so. You know how McFarlane has been writing this script for years now, and he announced it at San Diego Comic-Con on Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon, I think, that he signed a deal with Jason Blum, and with Blumhouse, to make a Spawn movie, and that Spawn is more of a background character than the main focus of the film, and it's going to be a low budget, much like where the other Blumhouse movies. They do all the horror movies. Doesn't matter. But they do all these low-budget films, and they get usually high returns. So that's kind of the deal. It's going to be a $5 million budget or something like that. So yeah. So the focus is going to be on the police officer. Slips my
name. Sam and Twitch.
Yeah.
So wait, you said Spawn is going to be in the background?
So just real quick, Blumhouse has done Insidious, Paranormal Activity, Sinister, The Purge, Anarchy, Get Out, Insidious Chapter 3, and Split, among a bunch of other movies. So yeah. No, I don't think they're going to do it that way.
No, but it's going to be a very horror and very R.
So good, Spawn.
It's
going to
be a
film. That should be
graphic movie, apparently.
Right.
That's my idea, because he's also signed on to direct it.
Was this
so he'll be directing the movie too?
You really can't say that, because Tom McFarlane was actually heavily involved in the first movie as well. Part of the problem was the budget with that movie. A lot of the money went to the special effects for the cape, And, you know, there's even scenes where, like, that isn't correct. If you watch the movie closely, like, you can see the scene where he jumps down through the skylight and the cape's all flowing out around him and he lands and his cape's still flowing and it's, like, going through people. So, yeah.
So is money not well spent?
Yes, exactly. I think that's what the problem with the first one was. But, again, it also goes back to it was a PG-13. It probably should have been an R-rated movie. Well, right?
Next time we should the first use one? A TurboGrafx-16 yeah, for it. That's
and, of course, because it's a quote-unquote superhero movie, they want to make a PG-13. But thankfully, Deadpool yeah. proved, no, you can make an R-rated. And then, of course, the Wolverine, or Logan, I mean, just reinforced it. So, you know, that's probably why he was able to quickly get backers for it. So, let's see.
Okay. What's next? What else we got? There's got to be other things I didn't hear about if I didn't hear about that. Seriously, I'm actually really surprised I didn't hear about that. There's, because, you know, we've got all of the CW shows coming out. They all had mini trailers, although I don't know how much we could talk about those because the Flash one showed almost nothing. And, and Supergirl wasn't that great. And the big news about that is they're bringing back Erica Durant as...
No, she's on another show and got picked Zora up full-time for that, so she can't do...
Kara's mother. They're replacing the original actress.
I mean, this is the definite definition of stunt casting when you're replacing someone. You pick someone from Smallville to take her place.
Mm-hmm. Complex.
So, I mean, I have no issues with Erica Durant, but, you know... We'll see what happens. It's not like, you know, I mean, I think Supergirl got good near the end of last season. And then the last episode was just like really, it was, the last episode was just poorly done. It just was real quick, wrapped everything up. And it was just like, what?
There was a shark. You know? She jumped over. So,
we'll see.
They need some new writers. Actually, Arrow's not doing too badly, I think. I'm still into that. Flash is okay, but the angst is getting a little bit high.
Maybe he can stop ruining continuities.
Some storylines where he actually like maybe wins once or twice.
I think they did Flashpoint too early on the TV show.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
So there was that.
That was big. They could
there was also that little, speaking of TV shows, really that little Netflix thing that came out with Stan Lee. Where he's driving around the car and he's giving a little Stan Lee-esque inspiring speech.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Little thing.
Talking about, you know, the heroes might falter because, again, they're only human. And they're showing clips from what is the upcoming Defenders. But it ends on a very interesting note because... There's been a rumor for a while that he might be in part of it, but does this confirm it or not? They show the Punisher at the end.
It's got to be. There's no other way that they would show the Punisher and then not have him in this. You know? There's no way. And besides, it kind of fits because the rest of the trailer, like you said, is less a trailer for a super team-up than what they did with the Punisher and
Daredevil. What did you guys think? You excited for the Daredevil? I mean, the Devil for Punisher to show up in the Defenders movie?
I think if he's in it, it's going to be a very small part because I think the focus is more on Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and the other two guys.
Okay.
And I think we lost JD.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, we're still there.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Oh, we did lose JD. JD, that's we okay. miss you.
This is super we sweet. Love you. We come back. On. Keep going.
Anyway, Soldier on. It'll be interesting. I think you're right though, Matt, because it does feel like he was written as a an ancillary character in the second season of Daredevil, but he got such great feedback.
Yeah,
they went on and they're like, okay, we're going to give him his own. Solo series now, and now we're going to make him part of the Defenders. Yeah. So you're right. It's probably because I would feel that they had the Defenders written already before they got to this point because it was always the plan. That is probably like a cameo at the end. He comes in and
saves the day,
sprays down a couple bad guys, maybe takes out JD or something.
I think I'm more Yeah.
Maybe already.
I think I'm more excited to see the Puncher in his own series than I am teamed up with the Defenders. I think I'd rather see him take down the Defenders.
Ah, there you go.
No, I don't see that happening. If they did, that's too much of a, what is it? Not a trope, do ex machina or, you know, that thing where they just do something where it's, you know, against the character's personality just to create a plot point so that they have tension and can go on with a storyline. It's just not, it wouldn't fit.
You're right, but I think it'd be cool. That's all.
Okay, fine. Just wait for the death battle to come out there. You know? Of course, knowing those guys, they'll put him up against, like, Applejack from My Little Pony or something like that. Because they already had Deadpool versus Pinkie Pie.
Yeah.
Yes, and Starscream.
And I won't even tell you who won
that. And Starscream versus Rainbow Dash.
Yep. Surprisingly, the ponies are 2-0. Anyway. So, let's see, what else we got here? We covered Avengers, covered Justice League. Okay, that takes the minor things out of the way. Minor things? Deadpool showed up. We got the, I don't think we want to talk about Supernatural. Supergirl.
How about the new Inhumans trailer?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. That worked. I liked it. The way Medusa looks still throws me. It still makes me, it doesn't make me feel like it's her character.
Right.
It's like, but, because it's too, I don't know, she looks plastic sometimes, you know? I'll have to see how the actor handles the character. But from what I saw, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, normally her hair, she's depicted with her hair, like,
hair
out and all wild and everything. This, her hair is flat and it just kind of comes to life when she wants to attack someone.
Well, maybe they don't want to spend a cape's budget on the series, right?
Maybe.
They don't want her hair clipping through walls and stuff, you know?
A cape's budget.
Really got to upgrade from that TurboGrafx to like a Handy Color Computer 16 or something, you know?
And was that Triton in the preview, running around on Earth with the green fin on his head?
I didn't see that. Oh my god!
Too bad JD's not here. I know he's a huge Inhumans fan.
Yeah, I think that's what that's supposed to. I'm back, and I think that's what that's supposed to be.
Too bad JD's not here. Take a hint, dude.
Yeah, I think it's Triton, which is an interesting, character add in as well.
Go on, JD. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I have not much to say about this trailer. It's not, I don't know, it's just not grabbing me yet. I'll check it out when it comes on TV, but I don't know. So far, it's not so much for me.
It's not, it's not getting you excited enough to go out and spend money to see it in IMAX.
Absolutely not.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Still no sight of anything that ties it in with the greater Marvel Universe. I didn't even see anything that would say that, you know, like a S.H.I.E.L.D. emblem in the background or, you know, anything like that at all.
No.
I was hoping for something like that.
And
you know?
That is odd considering how much they tied in S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Inhumans all for the last few seasons. It's like to just completely ignore that just seems odd, you know.
Yeah.
But they're saying they're being hunted, so we'll have to see where that leads.
Okay, so what else we got here? I didn't see anything for Gotham, which makes me happy and yet still bewildered as to how it's still on.
Well, we don't talk about Gotham on this show, so.
Yeah, but I mean, Supernatural's in, what is it, its 30th year, and it had its own panel, but I didn't see anything on Gotham at all. I don't get it.
I saw a trailer for Gotham for the next season.
You did?
Yeah. It wasn't spectacular.
Was it on the Darknet?
It was trending on YouTube for a little bit. So if you just go to YouTube and you put Gotham SDCC trailer, you should probably find it.
Oh, what do you know? So there is. Wow, the fact that it doesn't come up in my normal searches means something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... Again, I kind of checked out of Gotham a while ago, so I'm not really excited for its return. Here's something else. I don't know if you guys saw this in your searches on the internet, but there was apparently, but I don't know if it's fake or not, because a lot of times when San Diego Comic-Con comes around, there's all these fake trailers that come out. Supposedly there was a teaser trailer for Captain Marvel that came out.
There were slides that showed her costume.
Yeah.
That's what I saw.
Yep.
Okay.
It looked pretty close to the original in the comic books. That's literally all I know.
All right.
It looks a lot like the fan art that you've been seeing circulating. It looks almost exactly like it.
Yeah, they didn't even show her in the costume. They just showed, you know, like on the big screen during a panel, I guess they showed
the art.
Some stills. Yeah, art. That was basically it. But still, I'll be glad to see the movie when it comes out.
Yeah, okay, never mind. Because actually I just found another one, and it's different than the first one that I saw. So obviously, yeah, it's all fake stuff at this point. Just the pictures of the costume, I'm sure, are real. So, yeah, we'll see. Do you think Brie Larson will cut her hair short for the role, or is she going to keep it long?
I think she cut it. It's taking place in the 90s, the movie.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that would work. Yeah.
Could be worse. Yeah. Could be worse.
Well, she's fighting the Skrulls, so that's kind of cool.
That is cool. It's taking place in the 90s? I didn't read that.
Yeah, it's taking place in the 90s.
Huh.
But
the
theory is that maybe she gets a hold of the time gem and she gets transported to the 90s.
As long as she doesn't run into Bill and Ted, that should be fine.
Because it takes in place between both the Avengers movies. So Infinity War and whatever the fourth one is. So,
oh, all right.
It's possible that Thanos doesn't get all the Infinity Gems yet.
Yeah, see, and that's one of the things, too, with the Marvel movies. Like, the timelines aren't exactly what you think they are. Like, the movies don't always take place exactly in the year they're being released, you know? So, yeah, it is a little confusing, as it were.
Well, that of all things, I'm willing to cut the whole bit of slack on. Because when you've got, like, 80 movies in planned and in flight, I think they're doing a pretty damn good job, considering.
I was going to say, they probably did that on purpose so that you don't sit there and go, well, wait, this all took place between the two Infinity War movies? That doesn't make sense. Now it's like, okay, she was transported back in time. It makes sense, you know. And speaking of being transported back in time, I think the last bit of news we can hit on real quick, it didn't come out of San Diego. It did come out earlier, but we haven't talked about it on the show.
Thank you for saying that.
They announced the 13th Doctor.
I was going to make sure that we talked about that.
Jodie Whittaker. Who is playing the 13th Doctor?
Yes.
Jodie Whittaker. Okay. So I don't know anything that she's been in, so I have nothing to base, you know, I don't know what her skill acting
actually a chops very, are. Very good actress, base that on. Which I think is going to work. It work wonders. She was in Broadchurch, TV series. And that series had David Tennant in it, who played the 10th Doctor. So basically we have a Doctor, like, diagram here to show all the different connections. One of the Doctors, Peter Davidson, came out and said something about having lost what did he say? He said that the world has lost a role model for boys. And then Colin Baker, who plays the 6th Doctor, the 5th Doctor, he got upset and threw shade at Peter Davidson, who played the 4th Doctor. All of the current and recently passed companions, all the actresses and actors have all come out in favor of it, and the reaction is mostly positive from everything I've seen. There are just a few trolls out there that are like, oh dear goddess, no, a woman. But she should be really good. Jodie Whittaker is going to kill this. As long as the writing is good, and since Stephen Moffat is leaving the show, that means that there's a lot of space for new basically new types of stories and for character growth. Yes,
well,
I know.
Again, like I said, I haven't seen anything that she's been in, so I can't. I can't speak to her acting ability. Tom Baker will always be my doctor. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that there are people who are upset, thinking that if talking about it as, what's the word I want to use for, you know, social justice warrior crap, or it's,
just ignorant.
Be politically correct.
That's, I mean, they've had certain Time Lord characters, in the series before that have switched gender. And it's a well-known fact since way before, it's been canon since the original series, that Time Lords could, you know, when they regenerated, become a woman or a man. They could switch genders. So this is not something that just, you know, they decided to do. This is something that's been prepared for, that is canon, and, you know, they found a good actress.
So all I was going to say on it is, because I don't know how good of an actor is, I don't know what the writing is going to be. It's one of those things. All you can do is wait and see. Like, if we get them coming out with an episode talking about how evil men are, then you know that why they're doing it. If they just continue on with the Doctor as the Doctor's always been, and just as a female now, and just, yeah, you know,
Christian
don't even
Ball
bring gender into it.
Writer.
That's, you know, then that's fine.
Stephen Moffat, and he's pretty good about this stuff. So,
but I will say, it has always been canon that the 13th Doctor is supposed to be the last regeneration.
Well,
I know they're throwing that out the window. Shh, let me finish my point, because I used to watch Doctor Who a lot. The 13th Doctor is the last regeneration, and the 13th is the evil regeneration.
Oh, very funny.
So
very
it
funny.
Makes sense
actually,
that they have a woman
actually, you gotta
playing
understand
the evil
that,
Doctor.
Was it the Doctor before the current one? Was technically the last regeneration, because he had regenerated twice once, so that was the 13th.
I know, you count that, then there's the War
Doctor,
and then there was another regeneration that they don't count. It's understand.
Something like that. So,
they're actually technically on like the 15th Doctor.
He was given a whole new set of regenerations in the end of time.
But again, they keep pushing... They keep pushing that it's
the
12th Doctor going into the 13th. So, again, I stand by my point. Of course, the evil regeneration is a woman.
I think
Matt, come on, back me up here.
I have nothing to say.
Oh, okay.
JD,
either of you?
No, we lost him. We just didn't lose him.
Did we lose JD
I mean?
Again?
No, I'm here just listening. No, actually, I'm a Doctor Who fan. I lost. I stopped watching the show during the Capaldi years because, simple answer, my wife cut cable on us. So, and I just haven't gone back and caught up on everything. So, I don't know. Like I'm saying, this it works. It works for the rules of the show, and it's time they do something completely different. So, I'm on board. We'll see how it goes.
Like I said, all we can do is wait and see what it's like. Really,
had some really, really good stories in the beginning. I think he's kind of run out of steam. No, nothing against the writer, but there's, you know, you'd have to be like Ray Bradbury to be able to come up with something new every single time. And Moffat did an amazing job for the last couple of years. So now it's being handed off to Christian Ball, and it should. And it should be, I mean, it's good because he'll be able to bring in a whole new set of ideas, new whatever. We'll see what happens. It should be good because we'll be able to be surprised now.
Though I will also point out that just like whenever something like this happens anymore in the world, you get a bunch of people who go online and go, finally, a female-led sci-fi series. And it's like, wait a minute.
Orphan Black.
Voyager. Alias. Orphan Black. Terminator and the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I mean, come on now. Like,
yeah,
let's
Orphan
let's
Black,
not act
I mean,
like this is the first time a woman has led a sci-fi series. So.
Tatiana Maslany, she is... She's probably one of the best actors out there right now. To be able to play so many personalities and play them flawlessly for this long is just like either that or she's got split personalities. We're not sure which. So you can't ignore, you know, actresses like that.
No, you can't. All right.
Watch your mouth.
So we have, I think we've beaten enough dead horses here. Unless there's something we missed. Unless we missed something, JD or Matt or...
I'm actually pretty excited about Patton Oswalt joining the cast of Sci-Fi's Happy. That was a book by my favorite writer, Grant Morrison.
Oh.
The colorist on that book was my partner on Deluge, Rich Clark. So that book's always kind of held a special place for me. It's a complete, I don't know if you guys have ever read Happy. It's about a cop who goes to find his lost daughter. And the only person that can help him find her is her imaginary friend, who is a blue unicorn horse type of deal. And it's typical Grant Morrison nuts.
Yes.
And it's going to be Christopher Maloney playing lead, and Patton Oswalt is going to voice Happy the Horse.
About that. Number
and
one, I'm writing that down.
That's shit enough for me to be all about it and excited. And I'm super pumped up for this show when it comes
anybody
out.
Anybody listening to this, if you're getting on Patton Oswalt's case because he just got engaged and you think it's too early since his wife died, get off of his back. Anything else? Matt, you got anything?
Agreed.
I was mostly excited about all the movie announcements that DC made, including Flashpoint, Shazam, Batgirl. It's what I was looking for all week.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I missed that. I knew the Shazam. They announced that they're going to do Flashpoint as a movie?
So they're doing... I got to pull up the list. It's somewhere. So they're doing a... A Batgirl movie, a Shazam movie. Shazam's actually coming out after Aquaman, I think. So that's the next one after Aquaman. And then 2020, I think, is when Flashpoint is going to be. And it's going to be called Flashpoint. Right before that is the Green Lantern Corps. And after that, I don't remember if that's Suicide Squad 2 or if Suicide Squad 2 comes out earlier than that. But yeah, they announced like 9 movies.
Oh, that makes sense. So they completely redo Suicide Squad. With all new actors and all...
Yeah, but I'm not sure.
All new villains.
It might come out before.
And say it's Flashpoint's fault. What?
That movie might have come out before. I can't remember. But yeah.
And just blame Flashpoint,
They said nothing about... here it is. So they haven't said anything about the Nightwing movie or the Gotham City Sirens. But here's the list. So Justice League comes out, Aquaman, then Shazam in 2019. Cyborg in 2020, Green Lantern Corps in 2020, and then I think I heard also that the Flashpoint movie would also come out that time too, but they haven't made an official announcement.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so The Batman is the official movie of the Batman movie. It's called The Batman.
Right.
And Wonder Woman is getting a sequel.
So that's are they going to use Flashpoint to erase any of the movies that don't do well in the past?
I don't know. Maybe.
And the Batgirl thing. I actually hadn't heard about the Batgirl movie. Are they doing the DC Bombshells Batgirl or the other Batgirl?
Well, Joss Whedon is apparently attached to direct it. So whatever I think he was going to do something along the time with Gail Simone's run on it.
Okay. This should be interesting.
Actually,
Out of all that, I mean, the Cyborg... Oh, what was it? It's Cyborg, Flashpoint, Batgirl, Shazam. Shazam's the one that I'd be really interested in because I really liked the old... Do you remember the old Saturday morning cartoons, but they had the live-action Shazam on it? I'm too old. I understand. Okay, so there used to be a very old live-action series, Shazam. They did that and Isis, and it was on Saturday mornings in the 70s. In early 80s, and it was pretty good. You'd have to check it out. They still have episodes on YouTube. But so Shazam, I'm actually excited to see.
Yeah, that comes out in 2019, so you don't have to wait that long.
Cool.
He's like a little kid full of joy.
Well, it's DC. They've got movies, and some of them actually started to turn out good. So okay, I may have to get new cards that don't have DC Apologist written on them anymore.
Well, yeah, so David Sandberg is attached to direct the Shazam movie.
Okay, all right. I'm not panicking yet. We'll see.
Okay, quick. If you're so excited about Shazam, what did Shazam stand
Shazam
for?
Shazam was the name of the wizard that gave him the powers.
Yes, but each letter in Shazam is, it's like an acronym.
Samson, Hercules, Achilles, Zeus.
Let's see.
I forget Solomon, the second A in Mercury. And
who is it? Ariadne? I forget how to. Minerva, Aurora, it could be. I don't know. Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, yeah. Achilles, and Mercury. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, Aurora is.
Right? You said Aurora?
Is a Marvel thing.
Solomon, yeah. Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, Mercury. Yeah.
Okay.
Shazam.
I don't think they're doing Shazam. They're just calling him Shazam. They're not even doing Captain Marvel anymore, right? Because everybody always called him Shazam anyway.
No, yeah. Oh, we lost John. Okay. So. Now he's back, I think. All right. Well, maybe we should just wrap it up on that note.
Sounds good to me.
I'm good.
All right. So, So, you guys don't have anything else to add. I think we'll put a pin in it for this week. And as always, boys and girls, thanks for listening. Don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.